This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Continuing in our journey of looking at surahs that specifically are named after certain prophets that are mentioned inside the Quran, that we mentioned that certain teachings of these prophets, that many of us are familiar with these teachings, or we have knowledge about their teachings or knowledge about their belief. But a key thing that we're trying to focus upon is that which we could be possibly negligent about in our lives, in the application of these teachings. As we find that the concept of sabr and them giving da'wah and the challenges that they faced, as Allah mentioned, وَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient like those individuals, أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, those strong, resolute individuals from amongst the messengers who remain patient. And we mentioned that أُولُو الْعَزْمِ are five individuals or five prophets that we find, beginning with Nuh alayhi salam, and then Musa and Isa, Ibrahim, and then our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are known as أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, the five strong, resolute, committed prophets. And as we mentioned, that many of us are familiar with their stories, but the sabr, the element of patience inside our lives, the element of forbearance, overlooking, pardoning. And likewise, in today's surah, the main theme is wisdom. Many of us, we have mass amount of knowledge, but we don't have its application. Because many of us, we live in a book world of things that we read, and we try to just black and white in an, as we mentioned, abrupt manner, try to enforce people, try to teach people. And we lack the key element message of the messengers. Even specifically the Prophet, if you read about those ayat inside the Quran, which give him these arba awsaf, these four traits or characteristics are given to him. وَيُعَلِّمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches them the book and wisdom. Loosely, many ulama translate hikmah here, as Imam Shafi mentioned, is sunnah. And that's what some of us, we just take that. But there's a deeper meaning of وَيُعَلِّمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. There's a deeper meaning of wisdom is. That's why some ulama said that al-hikmah huwa al-amal. The real meaning of hikmah is action. Is that which you learn of the sunnah, that which you learn about belief, you apply that inside your life and you have a deep, profound understanding. That's why al-hikmah huwa wad'u shay fi makanihi. Wisdom, as we interpret it, is placing every single thing in its right place. Meaning you know when to speak, when not to speak, when to say something, when to do something. That's what wisdom is. That's why al-dhulm huwa al-aqs. That's why dhulm is the opposite, ulama describe. Al-dhulm huwa wad'u shay fi ghayr makanihi. Oppression is to place something in its incorrect place. That's why when you're supposed to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are taking ibadah away from it, belongs to Allah, to other than Allah. That's why inside the surah mentions, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. That indeed the greatest oppression that a person does is to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the greatest sin, the total absolute sin. That's what dhulm is, that you're taking away. Ibadah belongs, al-ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you begin to give it to whatever it may be, statues, idols, whatever it may be that people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find this concept of wisdom, understanding of what Islam is and how to apply that in the living world that we live in. We're living in the 21st century in this environment. And we still try to enforce certain things that we don't understand. We feel this is the right way to enforce things. As we mentioned, this is lack of fiqh fi deen. Because fiqh fi deen is the ultimate science of knowledge. Ibn Abbas was given Turjumanul Quran, the title of being Turjumanul Quran. Allahumma faqih fi deen wa alimhu ta'wil. Give him fiqh fi deen. Understanding of deen to meaning to apply. That's what fiqh is. When you study usul al-fiqh and fiqh, what is it? It's the application of Islam. How to apply Islam. How to teach people Islam. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, yu'til hikmata man yasha. Man yu'til hikmata faqad utiya khayran kathira. Stranger is that at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, 286 ayat, Madinan Surah, primarily speaking about ahkam, rules and regulations. Coming towards the end of the surah, Allah mentions this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever's given wisdom has been given much goodness. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the only people pay heed and remember this are أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Men of intellect, rationale, understanding, application. So the whole surah, 280 odd ayat have gone by. It's all ahkam. Then Allah mentions the crux of the issue is that these laws and regulations, how do you apply them? How do you develop inside society? It's not as just some of us, we just see that, just as we mentioned, just to say this is how it should be. That's why not everyone is placed in a position to be a qadi, to be a judge, or to judge amongst people, or to be an imam, or to be a leader. Not to undermine anybody's aspiration that they have, but that's what some of us, we just jump to that goal. Half-baked individuals just jump to the final goal, and then we think we have the right to endorse. And it's a lack of reading and understanding. You know, we champion around certain causes and certain individuals. Read about Shaykh Sabi ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh. Read Raful Malam an Immatil A'lam. Read his works about removing the blame from the noble scholars of ulama. There's going to be elements that sometimes you may not see certain things eye to eye with other individuals. That's what the Sharia is. There's certain things they are tolerant towards. You have to accept them. Because we've just been taught with one methodology, one way, one concept. We're so full of ourselves that I must be right. And it sort of speaks about arrogance. The application of knowledge, it doesn't lead to arrogance. It leads to humbling oneself. Read Shah Waliullah Dehri's book, Al-Insaf, Fi Asbab Al-Ikhtilaf. Justice in understanding ikhtilaf that exists inside our society. How we should understand certain things that we live inside the environment that we live in. And thus we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this hikmah, this wisdom, not just to the prophets. He gives it to other individuals. It's granted. Wisdom is granted. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he granted to Luqman, who's been given his title, Luqman al-Hakim. Luqman, the wise individual. And the majority of ulama tafsir, al-Ra'sim ibn Kathir, mentioned that he wasn't a prophet. Makana nabiyan. He wasn't a prophet, but he was a wise individual. Because of his application, and even his application, that's what Ibn Kathir he mentions, كان قاضياً في زمن داود عليه السلام. He was a judge. So it wasn't just any individual. He was a judge at the time of Dawood alayhi salam. That's why some of the ulama collected all of these narrations of wisdom that he narrated to the people. Ibn Kathir also mentioned that كان حبشياً أو أسوداً, that he was a black individual, كان قصيراً. And the reason why some of the ulama they mentioned is to highlight that knowledge isn't codified with certain people or certain colors or certain places or certain countries that we try to codify. Knowledge is vast. It's vast that when you try to codify, say that only certain people can understand Islam. Even no disrespect to the Arab world. Look how many ulama, great ulama that existed who were non-Arabs. They were non-Arabs, they existed there because the deen isn't based upon certain cliche of people and types of people. The deen is vaster than that, further than that, that we can ever comprehend. And so Allah can grant wisdom to whoever He wants at any place, any location, wherever He wants. You can't choose and select that wisdom should lie here or lie there. Whoever is sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant them the wisdom. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a blessing understanding the nusus. And as we find it primarily inside this surah, the whole theme is revolving around wisdom. And primarily about belief, tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the application of that tawheed inside our lives. That's what this surah is revolving around. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, speaking about this surah that we find four inferences inside this surah speaking about wisdom. That's why ulama said the whole this surah is just wisdom. Whether it be the title of the surah, because it has no other name except for Surah Luqman. The 31st chapter of the Quran, Meccan Surah, 34 verses. The surah's name, that's the beginning of Luqman al-Hakim. That's the first reference to wisdom. Then here Allah mentioned that this is the wise book. So this is the second concept of wisdom. Then Allah mentioned again, wa huwa al-Aziz al-Hakim. That He's all the mighty, the all wise. Inna Allah Aziz al-Hakim, later on inside this surah. So four references to the concept of wisdom. And we should ponder and reflect upon this. Because many of us, we just have a tertiary reading of the Qur'an. We can't see the inner dynamics of the Qur'an. That's what ulama of tafsir mentioned. Anna bidayatu surah, the beginning of surah points out to what the rest of the surah will discuss. That's a general rule of the Qur'an. The beginning surah, or the beginning first ayat, is giving you an introduction to what the rest of the theme, or the main theme of the surah is going to be. So here Allah mentioned, ayatul kitab al-hakim. So this book is wise, and the theme of this surah is going to be wisdom. How to develop wisdom inside your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only in four places, whenever He speaks about the Quran, has specifically mentioned about this book is a wise book. That there's wisdom inside this book, the book of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that the beginning of this surah is very similar to Surah Al-Baqarah. But Allah mentioned this is hudan wa rahmatan lil muhsinin. But this time Allah mentioned this book is guidance and a mercy for the muhsinin, the doers of good. When in the beginning mentioned this is guidance for al-muttaqin. So Allah here increased hudan wa rahma. It is guidance and mercy. That inside these teachings, these ahkam, rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is mercy for the believing individuals. As we mentioned, we can't pluck every single ayah and speak about it in the time span that we have. By looking at certain key ayat inside this surah, Allah begins by speaking, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There's some people who speak, purchase vulgar speech, incorrect speech, لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوَا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And they take this statement as play and jest and just wasting time. Now here the one core element of tafasir that ulama mentioned, that the core element, lahw al-hadith, even though lahw al-hadith has far more greater meaning. But one of the core meanings of lahw al-hadith, as ulama have described, is lahw al-hadith, as going back to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said three times, wallahi, huwa al-ghina, that it is singing, and what is related to singing. Others said it's musical instruments, it's shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what lahw al-hadith is. So one common interpretation inside works of tafsir, when people ask this question, where in the Quran does it say that music is haram? And people ask this question, where does it say? Because many of us don't know the language of the Quran. We want to learn keywords that exist in our society. The Quran has a deep language. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَحْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. يَشْتَرِي. Normally inside the Quran, when Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, it's always blaming them. That's a common theme inside the Quran. Then when Allah says yashtari, normally it's praising people inside the Quran. That's the dynamics of the Quran. But on this occasion, yashtari, Allah is not praising these people. Allah is defaming these people. And yashtari, in an easy, simple word, is buying and selling. So you can judge the scenario in your own mind. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. They buy and they purchase false speech. So if we take the literal meaning, what do people do with music? All these music platforms that we find that people register and they listen to music. You know, just recently, they say that 21 and a half hours in a week is what an average person spends listening to music. 21.5 hours they spend listening to music. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned that it only sprouts hypocrisy. You can't have two things inside the heart and the mind of a believer. You can't have kalamullah. You can't have the speech of Allah and the speech of shaitan. One will yaghlib al akhar, one will overcome the other eventually. And especially the music around us that we find. Let's not hide away from it. People say, well, certain forms of music, they give you peace, tranquility, rest, and whatever it may be. Most of the music at the moment is filth. You know, in our snippets of research we have to do as imams, you just don't know that if this is what people are watching and listening to, that's why we're in a bad state. That's why we're in a really bad state, that these videos and these wordings and what's going around it. And it's got nothing to do with whether a person is a good person, bad person. It's common practice. It's common practice that people are engaged inside it, and it corrupts the heart and the mind. The wording, the speech, lahw al-hadith, vulgar speech, corrupt speech, evil speech. So all this drill music, gangster rap, whatever it may be, rap, hip-hop, whatever you want to call it, what is the speech? What are they saying? What are they praising? What are they glorifying? What are they doing? And then we say, why are the youth in this state? Because if you're listening to that day in and day out, it drills into your mind, drills into your blood, your soul, everything. It comes part of your life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says certain key words inside the Quran. Whoever understands it, understands. Who doesn't understand, we'll never understand them. We'll always make excuses. That's why so many ulama said, these ayahs speak about Nadr ibn Harith. This individual, when he heard revelation and people coming to the Prophet, just like in today's world, he said, you know, we don't want people to listen to this Quran. فَجَاءَ بِالْمُغَنِّيَاتِ. He came with dancing girls. Came with tabal, came with musical instruments and wine. Look at that scenario and see the world around us today. Let the girls dance, let them pour the wine, let them drink, let the music play. لِيُضِلَّ النَّاسَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. To take people away from the path of Allah. To derail people. They spend money. It's an industry. They spend money to do it. And Allah mentions that Surah An-Nur, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Surah An-Nur is a surah of beauty, of goodness, of purity. You know, Allah places ayat inside the Quran for a reason many of us don't understand. He places that Surah An-Nur, the Surah of Nur, of light, the 24th chapter of the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. Those who love to spread vice. Love to spread vice. And you can think in your own mind, the vice that's being spread inside our society, they love it. They flaunt about it. They boast about it. And if someone says something, well, this person might be like this, this person's like that. This is the reality. They intentionally spread vice inside society. They want people to do these things. They want people to come towards these things. We're not speaking about a person who has their own weakness, whatever that weakness may be. Person may even listen to music, take drugs, drink alcohol, yasni, commit adultery, commit fornication. Hada shatnuhu. That's his personal affair. May Allah rectify all of our affairs. We all have personal sins that only Allah knows, and Allah conceals them. But here the Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. Those who love to spread vice, who want to bring it out in society, want to encourage this inside society. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For them will be a severe punishment inside this world and inside Al-Akhirah for them. Even we look at many of these non-Muslims, look at the way they die. Read about their lives. Shot dead, drunk, intoxicated, taking drugs, whatever it may be. That's how many of them they die. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الْأَرْضِ. That's the sunnah of Allah upon this earth. That the way that you live is the way that you're ultimately going to be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the opposite inside the surah speaks about. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. That no soul knows which land is going to die in is the end of the surah that it mentions. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned after then speaking about that وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَلَّمْ يَسْمَعَهَا كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا. That when the ayat are recited to these individuals, as if they never heard these ayat, just walk away. And as if there's molten lead, brass that's been placed inside their ears, they just abrupt, just turn away. They don't want to listen to the Quran. Some people don't want to listen to the Quran. Even amongst Muslims, they don't want to listen to the Quran. Or they say, oh, don't play the Quran. Or I don't want to listen to the Quran or listen to a reminder. It's just too heavy. It's too difficult. It makes me want to do actions. That's the whole intent of the Quran. That's the whole intent of the reminder, is to awaken you. That's why some people try to avoid. That's why you find one of the biggest problems we mentioned inside our society is that we don't speak the language of the people. It's just a formality. Thousands will flock to Jummah, every single Jummah. Walk in, walk out. Not to sound rude, like just sheep, in, out, clocked in. Yes, brother, I went Jummah. That's it. What did you learn? What did you benefit? What's the change? The prime goal of the Quran, it's a book of spirituality. It's a book of change. The Friday sermon is a reminder for all of us to help us to make that change, encourage that change, to give up these vices and these sins. That's why we find that some people, if Muslims try to justify music, you know, Muslim boy bands, whatever it may be. How is that important inside our lives? It's a substitute. It's a badil. There's no substitute to the speech of Allah. There's no substitute. Look at the Quraysh who had the most advanced poetry inside their life. They had all this environment, all this that we see in the world was there at that time. But what drove them? What drove them to Islam? Was the Quran. وَإِنَّ لُوْ حَلَاوَى. Quran has a sweetness. It moves people. So even if all of us, we sin, just listen to the Quran. Ponder over the Quran. Because one day it will break the shackles. It will break the soul. It will break the mind. It make the soul bow down. When your soul inside your body bows down to Allah, the rest of your body will bow down. It's the soul that we need to break within ourselves. The only thing that will break that soul, just like we need food and drink inside our lives, is the Quran, the words of Allah. It creates that inside the soul of every single human being, every single body. Look how many, even non-Muslims, just hear the recital of the Quran. It makes them weep. You know, there's views of millions of views of somebody just listening to the Quran and weeping. Why? They don't even understand the language. They don't understand what it is. Because that's the impact of the Quran. And we have the Quran daily in front of us, and we don't ponder. And Imam Sa'di mentions that it's a far deeper meaning. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ goes into deeper meaning. What is لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ? Vulgar, vain speech, backbiting, gossiping, slandering, speaking about one another. That's also لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ, which is common amongst us so-called practicing Muslims. Oh, there's no harm in saying this about an individual. It's not really backbiting. It's not saying anything. That's the other side of this Muslim ummah. The lesson is for all of us. Whether we claim to be learned individuals or practicing individuals or normal individuals, Quran is unique. It's for everyone. It's a reminder for all of us. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ It's not for an elite class or elite people. It's for all of us that we read the Quran and we ponder and we reflect. And we think, short surahs that we may hear inside Salah, وَيْلُلْ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ الْلُمَزَةِ Woe to those individuals who backbite, who slander, who spread rumours. Because as we mentioned time and time again, we don't understand the language, so we drift away. We don't see what Allah is telling us inside the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the most important lesson inside this surah. About Luqman alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ يَشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ Indeed, we gave to Luqman. Allah mentioned many times in the Quran. We gave to Musa, gave to Harun, gave to Suleiman, gave to Ibrahim. But here we gave to Luqman. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ We gave him wisdom, comprehension, the ability to implement the knowledge, as we're going to see in the story of speaking to his son, how he advises him. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ The first commandment here, that we find the ulama mentions, approximately 10 commandments inside this surah. Or inside this wasaya, or this wasi of Luqman, this advice of Luqman alayhi salam, some 10 commandments and 3 prohibitions. First is, anishkur lillah, to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what ulama mentioned, that the level of knowledge, the peak element is khashyatullah. Just underneath that, on the brink of that, is what? Is shukr lillah. That's what ibad, that's what worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That's what real ilm is. كُلُّمَا زِدْتُ عِلْمًا زِدْتُ جَهْلًا Every time I increase in my knowledge, I increase in my own ignorance. How ignorant I am towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In my behavior, in my conduct, and my ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what al-ilm is. Shukr leads to tawadu', to humility, to humbleness as mentioned inside this surah. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Whoever disbelieves or becomes ungrateful, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Allah is the all-rich. The all-praised one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some ulama have extracted that if you want al-ghina, if you want richness, even richness of this world or the deep meaning of enrichment, of contentment inside your heart. They extract from this verse, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ is to have excessive hamd wa shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want richness of this world? Then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your tongue moist. رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, Ibn Kathir lists various statements of wisdom that have been attributed to Luqman alayhi salam. And then Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside verse number 20, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً Then Allah has bestowed so many blessings upon you, whether it be apparent or they be hidden. And Allah mentioned later on inside the surah, مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't come to an end. The whole context of this ayah is that if all the trees on the face of this earth were to be aqlam, were to be pens, and the ocean was to be an ink, and then we bring forth 7 more oceans, مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ The words of Allah will not come to an end. They will not come to an end. All the trees on the face of this earth became writing utensils, became pencils, became pens. And all the ocean, the 5 or so oceans over on this planet, they became the ink, and Allah brought forth 7 more oceans. مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ The words of Allah will never come to an end. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, the holy surah, the main theme, is one reminding us about tawheed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Luqman then says, وَإِذْقَالُ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ First advice he gives to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ He says to his my beloved son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ And his shirk is the most ultimate, abominable sin. that a person could do inside their life. Another place inside the Quran, Allah mentioned Surah Al-An'am. Allah mentioned, "Alladhina amanu wa lam yalbisu imanahum bidhulmin." Those who believe and they don't taint their iman with dhulm. The companions took the meaning of dhulm as just general sins, oppression. Every time you sin, it taints, it affects your iman. So they said that none of us has really got real iman. Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't really have that iman. He said, Laysa dhak. It's not that. The meaning of here that you find, Alladhina amanu wa lam yalbisu imanu bidhulmin, is the qawl. Ama tasma' qawl Luqman alayhi salam. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. That the dhulm here, Allah mentioned about those who believe and don't taint their iman with any element of shirk. That's why a person needs to purify themselves. That's why rightfully we may speak about so many anwa of shirk that exist inside a society. But there's other elements of shirk that some of us, we fail to understand. The ego, the nafs, the personality, the individual, ana, myself. That's also shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That some of us fail to understand. Because Allah mentions in the Quran, have you not seen the one who takes their own ego, their desires as the ilah, as a deity? That's a problem inside our society. Yes, we have one half of the world that commits the pure ultimate shirk that we find that may bow down to individuals or statues or shrines or graves or relics, whatever it may be. But on the other side, we have the opposite shirk that people don't want to speak about. That's also rampant. That's fastly traversing in our land that people fail to understand. That people, they try to play God on this earth. They think that they're gods on this earth. They think because they have money, power, whatever it may be. So we play God. That's what many people, they think. And even some of us, that if some position is given to us, we think that we are gods in our own right, using the word linguistically. This is all, as the advice says, about kibr, arrogance. That the warning that Luqman then gives to his son. So if the first advice gives his son, ya bunayya, la tushrik billah. Never ever commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Never commit shirk, indeed the most oppressive sin. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Then the second advice, or Allah mentions that, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We gave advice to the human being to be good to their parents. You can't be a companion of belief of Tawheed and you're rude to your parents. You don't have respect towards your parents. You don't know how to speak to your parents. You don't know how to address your parents. Everywhere inside the Quran, when it speaks about Tawheed, what does it mention straight after that? Whether it be the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, the advice given to Bani Israel. Allah then mentioned to them, clearly highlighted to them, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be good to your parents. We come to Surah Al-Nisa, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Associate no partners with him. Be good to your parents. You come to Surah Al-Isra. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. غَيْر مَعْقُولَ. How can it be plausible a person who nourishes up with Islam is rude to their parents? Even here it clearly explicitly states that even if they tell you to do something, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be good to your parents throughout their life. The only time you disobey them is when they tell you to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they tell you to cook, to clean, to paint, to do this, do that. This Western society, that's what it teaches us. This freelance mentality, I do whatever I want to do in my life. The core elements that we have is being good to your parents. That's why some people, they're not big worshippers that we may see, but it's people who spent 5 years, 10 years, 15 years looking after their parents. No one knows who they are. Certain places, if I find when earthquakes took place, one individual carried his mother on his back for 3 days. He got her medically treated, put her back on his back, and walked another 3 days to go home. This is like a movie for many of us. This is common practice in the Muslim world. Quran says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't even say uff to your parents. كَلِمَةُ الزَّجَرْ. Don't tut. Don't make sounds. It's not even saying say something. It's saying don't even make a sound to your parents. So here Allah is saying inside Luqman to be good to your parents. The only time you disobey your parents, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي جَاهَدَكَ بِمَعْنَى they striving total absolute focus on harming you to keep you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just a little comment here or there that you walk away from your parents. Common things inside society. Well, my parents are cultured. They're like this, they're like that. I just live my own life. Are they disbelievers? Hey, look, Allah is saying that even if they're disbelievers, you obey them. You obey them. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا You be good to them. That's why some of the ulama mentioned it's referring to Sa'd ibn Malik, if not mistaken. You know, some ulama said the ayat inside Surah Al-Ankabut, that when his mother said to him, because he loved his mother immensely, she said to him, abandon this faith. Abandon it. He said, oh, my mother, I'll do anything for you, but I won't abandon this faith. You have 100 lives or more lives than that. You take each one of them one by one, I'm not going to give up this deen. Anything else you told me to do, I will carry it out. Then Luqman Isam advises his son, Ya Bunaya, Inna intakum mithqala habbatin min khardalin, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi, yati biha Allah, inna Allah latifun khabir. This is what real tawheed is. This is what real tawheed is that many of us, we fail inside our lives. This is the inner meaning of tawheed. An atom's mustard seed grain of any action that you do, whether you stuff it under a rock, you hide it in the ocean, conceal it wherever it may be, yet to be Allah, Allah will bring it out. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Allah is the most subtle, the most aware. That's what tawheed is. That's what iman is. That in the depths of this being all on your own, you override your soul, and you visualize it at that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even is watching us at all times, that He's watching me. That's what belief is. That's what Islam is trying to instill. That's what the Prophet ﷺ, he instilled amongst his companions. Just a few people conquered the world. We're a billion in number. We can't conquer one small area at the moment. So that's something food for thought for many of us. We're a billion in number today. What is our role? What's our impact? But as he prophesied, we're just going to be like the froth, the scum of the ocean. That you find that all the enemies will come around, cluster around, and they'll eat just like the people, the Arabs will eat from the plate, from the pallet, they eat together. That's how the enemies will come upon you. And then he prophesied, he mentioned that what will affect us is al-wahan. This disease, this cancer. Qila wa mal wahan ya Rasulullah. What is this wahan? What is this disease we're going to be suffering from? Qala hubbu dunya. He said, you Muslims. He's not speaking about non-Muslims. He said, you Muslims. The disease that's going to go through your body is hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Love of this world and hatred for death. It's the disease that we're suffering from as Muslims today. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah. The next wasai advice he gives to his son is, oh my son, establish the prayer. So straight after belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is iqamatu salah, is establishing the prayer, shows your shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows your obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha anil munkar. Then the next stage, order the good and forbid the evil. Because many of us, we don't want to do that. Nobody wants to come out and order the good and forbid the evil. Who really wants to do that, in all honesty? But because these are commandments, injunctions inside the Quran, whether it be kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna al munkar, you're the best people ever raised up. That's why we can't pick and choose our Islam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan. Try your best to enter into Islam. Don't pick and choose. That's what this Muslim world is full of at the moment, is picking and choosing those things that are easy for me to do. And many times you said that this garb that we wear, not to sound derogatory and whatever it may be, it's important. But that's all that we focus upon. That's all that we focus inside our lives. That's it. The person looks like this. He dresses like this. Where's the deeper inner wisdom of these teachings that should be inside our lives? And in ordering the good and the forbidding the evil, wasbir ala ma asabak, and to be patient. Many of us are reckless. Well, I told this person, I told him to do that. They didn't listen. If they don't listen, well, why should I be bothered? They may as well burn in hell, go to hell. Is that what the manhaj al-anbiya is? Is methodology of the prophets busy sending people to the hellfire? Is that what it's all about? The default position of the messengers is to rescue people. all the way to the last second is always rescuing people. Not to clamp down on people. You're not an Islamic police to walk around to clamp upon people inside society. You have to just carry on advising people. Wasbir ala ma asabak. People say certain things. Inna dhalika min azm al-umur. That's from the strong resolution of the way of the prophets. And then the strange thing is that some of us who think that we know what belief is, that we treat people how we want to, we treat people like slaves. Luqman says, he said, wala tusa'id khaddaka linnas. Don't look down upon people. Wala tusa'ir bima'na, ulama have said of loga, sa'ar is huwa marad fi unuq al-ibl. Sa'ar is a disease that strikes at the throat, the neck of a camel. So the camel finds it hard to turn its neck. It's a kinaya of pride. That don't turn away from people. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. If you found Islam, you found the true Islam, or whatever it may be, or you find that you're a good Muslim, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't turn away from people in a state of arrogance and pride. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on the earth in a state of arrogance. Walk in a state of humility. There's only certain moments that Islam says, when you're in jihad, you show your strength. When you're going around the Kaaba, that you make the first three, you swiftly show your shoulders. It's sunnah to this day that you show your shoulders, because they want to show the Quraysh that we're not weak men, we're powerful individuals. So certain moments you show your strength. But other than that, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk around in a boastful manner. Another place in the Quran, you're not going to be able to reach the height of the mountains. And then another advice, وَقْدُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Lower your voice. The only reason, well, as we mentioned, Yawm al-Jum'ah and wa'ad admonition, because the Prophet raised his voice. Other than that, don't raise your voice. Don't have a go at people. Don't shout at people. Inna ankara swati la sawtul hamid. The most evil of voices, of sounds. Look at the description of the Quran. Is the braying of a donkey. The echoing of a donkey. That just because you raised your voice, it doesn't mean that you have an understanding of anything. Or you're trying to prove your point. That's not what ilm is. That's what knowledge is. So these traits, these characteristics, we need to develop them inside our life. That we know what belief is. We know what Islam is. Are we fulfilling the rest of these traits? The rest of these characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do. And then 12 or so ayats speak about the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam tarau, alam tara. Don't you see the heavens, the earth, etc. All the 12 ayat speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the end of the surah, it completes by speaking about, yeah, you're a nurse. اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما. O mankind, fear that day you come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يجزي والد عن ولدي ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا. When a father cannot avail his son, and a son cannot avail his father. So the whole context, Luqman speaking to his son, look how the surah ends. That you can only advise. There may be moments in our lives that loved ones don't listen. Don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we may think that maybe in the day of judgment, my mother, my father, or somebody can intercede for me. Yes, intercession does exist. The problem is that we're so over-reliant. We're so over-reliant that we think that, yes, the Prophet alayhi salam, he will come and intercede for me. We're not negating intercession of the Prophet alayhi salam. He will be given shafa'atul uzma, al-kubra, will be given to him. We don't deny that. That's not the argument here. The argument is that you do whatever you want to do. And you rely that when I come on that day, he will just intercede for me. You know, I don't want to sound crude and harsh. This is a Christian belief. That's a Christian belief, because Christians believe that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And he will intercede for mankind on the day of judgment. That's what this leads to. I'm not saying these Muslims, that they're non-Muslims, whatever it may be. That's not my intent here. It's trying to highlight how we become so over-reliant on this factor. It's the all belief inside our lives that I do whatever I want to do, but at least I have that affiliation to the Prophet alayhi salam, that he will come and he just intercede for me. That may happen for some people, or actually a few people, but that's not going to be the masses who think that he will just come and openly just intercede for a person who doesn't do anything in his obedience firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't let this world deceive you, and the chief deceiver being shaitan deceive you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah concludes Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the knowledge of the hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yunazzilu al-ghayth. He knows the exact points of sending of the rain and the amount of the rain. Wa ya'lamu ma fil arham. He knows what exists in the womb of the mother. When it's going to live, when is it going to die, happy, sad, wretched, rich, poor, etc. It's all there. It's only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentioned, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No soul knows what we will earn tomorrow. وَمَا تَكْسِبُ نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows which land it will die in. As Allah mentions in another place in the Quran, وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. The keys of the unseen lie only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messengers have only been given certain elements of the unseen. The pure creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that none of the prophets know when the last hour is. None of the prophets. They've only been given ashratu sa'ah. They've been given signs of the last day. They've been given prophecies of the last day. No one knows when the last day is going to be. So when people say that even the Prophet, he knows, but he never disclosed it to people, that's a wrong belief, unfortunately. No one knows when the last day will be established. And likewise, finding a hadith, he mentioned himself, there are five things, nobody knows them, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the ending we find here, that no soul knows where it will die. That you find in certain hadith we mentioned, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ قَبْدْ عَبْدٍ بِعَرْضٍ يَجْعَلُهُ حَاجَ إِلَى هَذِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If Allah wants to take a certain soul at a certain place or a certain location, He makes a need or a requirement for that person to travel there, to go there, and at that moment in time where that person may be, that's the location to be taken by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability, the wisdom to understand the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement that to the best ability inside our lives, to teach people around us with good hikmah, good wisdom, fair preaching, admonition, and love and forbearance and tolerance toward our society and many things that we see around us as taking place, to be tolerant towards us, especially amongst our youth that we find. That if somebody just comes in the masjid and it may not be dressed appropriately or looking appropriately or speaking appropriately, just turn a blind eye to that. Turn a blind eye to that in comparison to what's taking place out there, that you want these individuals to take them, derail them, take them further and further away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just be tolerant, let them come in. Let them just sit there. Because no one will be wretched who comes in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sinful person can even come and sit, and we're all sinful individuals. As we mentioned, it's just the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There may be some element of goodness that we all do inside our lives, that Allah sees that and grants us that ability. That's what we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our lives. At every moment that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being able to even breathe, as some ulama say. And look at those below us, those who are suffering in the world, those with disabilities and hardships and problems. Poverty is far rising inside this society. Difficulties. Just look down and reflect that, you know, I'm in a good state, alhamdulillah. I live a good life. You know, with all the problems that we have, it's nothing compared to the problems out there in the world. And that's what shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals.